Praise the Lord. Let's get back into Romans chapter 8 and thanking the Lord. We entered into the heights in a mere 17 verses. I just smile and laugh. You don't think the Lord's after you? You're in a coma. Let me tell you, he took you from verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Verse 17, joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Come on. He's not messing around. And we better not be messing around. He loves you. Get over all your drama and your excuses. Let's go. Verse 16. This is where we left off. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that wonderful witness together. That's why you need to get on that camel train with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Take you right to the bridegroom. It's the only place that is going. So that wonderful witnessing from the Holy Ghost that bears witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and moreover, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. The beautiful purpose of the Holy Ghost, the benefit that we have to be in this age of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and his wonderful purpose to lead us and guide us into all truth and to lead us and guide us into all love. Chapter 16 of John, turn there. John chapter 16, reading from verse 13. Jesus speaking to his disciples, we know this well, we rejoice. And he says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. See what the Holy Ghost does? The Holy Ghost is glorifying Jesus Christ. Now, how's he doing that? By giving you all truth, by shedding love abroad in your heart. He is glorifying. And the glory that's going to be revealed in you for him. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It's a glory train. Hallelujah. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And isn't that wonderful? All things, all things, all things. There is nothing lacking. It's always all things. So literally, figuratively, the Holy Ghost is to teach, lead us into everything. To show us everything. See, that's what our birthright is. It's all things. Amen. All things are yours. All things are for your sake. Believe God. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. We are very important to him. Now, the Holy Ghost, it says here, shall take. The word there, take, means to seize everything of Christ and announces it, makes it known unto you. See, and that's what the Holy Ghost does. He presents and announces that you're the wife for the Lamb of God. He tells you and he causes you and he seizes that which is the Lord and he makes it known unto you. He's the one that empowers your hand to receive that crown and to hold it fast, to seize it. It says that heaven is taken by the violent. The violent take it by force. So by the grace of God, this seizing is an important thing, brothers and sisters. We need to be strong in faith. And that's what we have and we know and believe and rejoice in the grace of God. I'm not wondering if I'm a joint heir together with Christ. I'm praising that we are the joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Are you not? Praise God. I'm not waiting for this. This is who we are now. We are and abide as the readied wife for the Lamb. The wife hath made herself ready. She's not a wondering wife. She's not a doubtful wife. She's an assured wife. She rests in his love, his desire, his choice. Praise God. I was thinking today, isn't it wonderful? You don't have a marriage without a groom, and you don't have a marriage without a bride. You need them both. And I thank the Lord for it. And I know we don't deserve it, but I'll tell you what, he chose us, and he's God. So I believe it, and I'm thankful with you. Praise his name. So the Holy Ghost will glorify our precious Lord and Jesus Christ, and Savior Jesus Christ, with us, because he will have his glory, for we shall be his glory. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Because the glory is going to be revealed for us in him. That's a verse we're going to get to real shortly here tonight. Now, he has given us the faith. Amen? That's right, he has. He's given us the faith to believe this. And in giving us the faith to believe this, I appreciated Brother Steve's prayer. He gives us the faith and the confidence and the understanding that we do willingly suffer together with Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. We know the purpose of it. We embrace it. We really do. We thank the Lord that we are absolutely honored to jointly suffer together with him. We suffer, as the word of God says, to reign. Amen. We don't suffer for nothing. We suffer for the midst of the throne glory with him. And we suffer with him because we love. And we love him because he first loved us. In his faithfulness, the word of God says that he afflicts us. And he sure does, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Sometimes we think, man, Lord, I've got my gait is real good. I'm just running real well, and whammo. There's a faithful afflictor that he knows what we need. We need these things. He knows how to humble. He knows the humiliation that we need. He brings the trial. There's a precious encouragement for this Sunday. And if we come to Sunday, and it's one of the glory revelations of my life to understand what he shows us, that our flesh is flesh, that there is no difference. We can think that we were innocent and we didn't do something and we didn't act some way. You give God time, he'll show you that you're the man. And he will, because he loves you. And I'll tell you what, that treasure in that earthen vessel, it's going to be one thing, that strength and that glory is going to be of God and not of us. Thank you, Jesus. So we gladly suffer with him. Every hurt, every wound, we know, all adds up to the eternal full glory. And that is why we now have verse 18 that follows with such blessed assurance, and that it is done, and all we are awaiting is the manifestation of it. And that's the truth. And here's what it says in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, I count them." I count it up. I add it up. I understand this treasure. They're not worthy to be compared. They're not worthy to be even uttered in the same sentence. They're not even worthy to be even thought of in the same comparison of the glory that might be revealed in you, that could be revealed in you, that shall be revealed in you. That's such a marvelous God. He never baits us. He doesn't bait. Man baits. Man carrots. It's truth. God's not a tempter. He's not a tempter. He's an assurance. He's the blessed assurance. He's the lover of your soul. He tells you with such power and confidence and confirmation, "I've done it. I've won it. The victory's complete. Now walk Walk in it. Believe me. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Don't walk around the promise. Go in and get it. Ask the Lord for that heart of Caleb. It's ours and it's ours now. We're well able to take it. And that was a pretty old fella that they'd look at and shake their head and say, what could you take? You're going to have a hard time beating up that paper sack. He said, let me tell you something. I can go out just like I did when I was a kid. He's made my hands. He knew that. Taught him to war. Know it. That's what faith is. It's a warring, warring thing that never quits, praise his name. Because I'll tell you what, you're battling all the time, whether you know it or not. But I love that. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Glorious, brothers and sisters. There's no doubt in that. It's an absolute and it's done. But the sufferings are required. Yes, they are. And we know that the Word of God tells us and assures us that most of them, if not all of them, are not joyous for the moment. There's a shock factor, if you will, in trial. There's a shock factor when things hit you. Yep. And that's why he loves it, because you call out on the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I don't know what to say, but Lord, you got to do something here. And how it's wonderful. And how marvelous it is to his ears. He waited for that moment. He knew it was coming because he made it all. But brothers and sisters, that's why we have the vision of the eagle. And actually, it's also the vision of the dove. We see past the moment, don't we? You have to. Because if all you see is the moment, you're going to be very disturbed. You're going to be a Christian that's always discouraged. You're going to be up and down, and everything's going to be predicated upon the happenings, as opposed to everything predicated upon the victory that was done. We see past the moment, we see the end, we see the result, we see the finished work, we see and believe God, the glory which is coming, the glory that's going to be revealed, the glory, praise God, that I will be for you. He put the treasure in the earthen vessel, it's there. Isn't that glorious? It's there. You don't have to doubt him. And this is why we need this word and the encouragement of it always, that we don't let these things slip. How could we neglect so great salvation? I think what we're talking about tonight, 17 verses. 17 is the number of victory. 17 verses he tells you you're not condemned and you're just thankful. Giddy, oh, thank you, Lord, for grace. Wake up. We got to get to here, and we're going to get there fast. And it's not only now, no condemnation, honey. You're born to rule and reign with me. You're born to be glorified together with me. That's the purpose of your life. And all by the power of his might. So we see this, and we know this. We see the finished work. We see the perfection. We believe God that we're the one in measure and stature and fullness of him. Do you believe that? Do you believe in that perfection? Oh, I thank God. And it's not on the outward appearance. Jesus, and it's so sweet. Just like when they chose David for king. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He had nothing to do with that. Never will. He looks on the heart. He looks on the heart that he gave. He looks on the heart that he waited for the manifestation of that heart that he could enjoy. He knew it was coming because he created it, he made it, he appointed it. Whom he foreknew, them he did predestinate. Here we are tonight. It's quite a predestination, wouldn't you say? Amen. Predestinated for the midst of the throne glory with him. And you just rest. We're here to believe the word of God, aren't we? And faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we're not here to just know scripture. We're here to believe it. We're here to understand this is Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is the life that Jesus came into your life with when you said, Lord, I take you as my Savior. That's it. The fullness of it. Not a piece of it, a part of it, a type of it. He gave you his very life. Thank you, Lord. Now, in that, there's joy, isn't there? And there was a joy, praise God, that was set before him that he endured the cross. That same joy, because of the life of Christ in us, is in us. And that joy, praise God, gives us a joy to win him. And here, praise God, Peter even spoke of in 1 Peter chapter 5. Go on over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace. Isn't that gorgeous that Peter says that? And there's a guy that really knew that's the God of all grace. And he could say, anybody who would deal with me, what I've done, it's the God of all grace. Because I needed the God of all grace. You need the God of all grace. But I love that it's Peter. The Lord has a way of taking the ones and bringing them forth that are just the magnificence of his grace. Hallelujah. But the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory. See, I love that. By Jesus Christ. And here it is. After that ye have suffered a while, make you complete or perfect, establish, constant, strong, strengthened, establish, settled, like an erect pillar. You. You. Isn't that something? Not them, but this is you. It's personal. It's exact. It's definite. And thank the Lord how he deals with us. So we rejoice. And we can count it all joy, don't we? When we know this. When we know that our steps are ordered of the Lord. When we know all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. Not some, all. That's down settings and up risings. That's all those different things. It's everything. So we thank him for his faithfulness that he's working it all together. Now, the plan of it all and the purpose of all creation, the Word of God tells us in so many ways, shapes, and forms, is us to the praise of the glory of his grace. To be the praise, to the praise that will bow down before us. The praise that the masterpiece of grace will receive because of him. Turn on over to Ephesians chapter 1. We read this here. After all that sweet encouragement in Ephesians 1, we studied that out. Thank the Lord, not too long ago. But in Ephesians 1, verse 12, it's that we, and that word should, can also be interpreted as will. And I'm taking the will. You taking the will or the should? I'm believing will. I believe the same encouragement that the glory that shall be revealed in me. That we will be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. There's a lot of ways that you can read that. But I'm so thankful that his glory is going to praise me with him. I want you to lock into that. Lock into that. Who first trusted in Christ. We're going to get there in just a second. I love studying this out. That's why we will be praised with him at his side because of the grace of God that is with us. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 3. And think about the praise of glory to the masterpiece of grace. There's a praise to that glory that comes forth. And it says it many times about that bride, the Philadelphia company, the four living ones. And he gives it here to the Philadelphia company in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship God. before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. I mean, you think about that. Why in the world would God put that verse in there? Why would he say that about that church? Why would it be so important to take that group, bring them in, and have them worship, bow down before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee? You don't think the lover of your soul's got fire? He's going to make things right in every way. He's going to be magnified. And his desire, you, is going to be magnified with him. In due time, the word of God says, in due time, my brethren, he will exalt us. You do not suffer for nothing. Glory is coming home. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You know that? All right. So we're going to be glorified together with him. That's what that means. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 4. And we'll read verses 9 through 11. Now here we have a moment in heaven that John has seen. And it's the moment, praise God, right after the bride is raptured and taken into heaven. And it shows the bride in a particular place, right in the midst of the throne with Jesus Christ. See, you can't rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ unless you're in the throne with him. You don't rule jointly together with Jesus Christ standing before him with a palm. That's like an oxymoron. It just don't work. Amen? Amen. Amen. Ruling and reigning jointly together means you're in the same place, same mind, same vein. Glorified together means exalted to the same glory. That company of palm wavers is not exalted to the same glory that the four living one company is in the midst of the throne of glory with him. Just let the Spirit read it to you. It's right there. Again, you have to intentionally refuse it to not receive it. Because it's yours. It's yours. So we have the four living ones in verse 6 of the fourth chapter in the midst of the throne. Right there. And seated around them when they enter in are 24 thrones of elders with crowns on their head. But they're not in the midst of the throne. They're seated around it. It's an important company. Marvelous elders, 24, the full overcomers of the Old Testament. It's a representative body. Amen. And so we have these friends of the bridegroom now have been seated because the bride is home in glory with him. Praise the Lord. So now we have the dearest friends of the bridegroom. The Moses, the David, Samson. You know, we're going to know this. You never seen him, but when you got a body like unto his own, you're going to know him. And you're going to look out from there. And they're going to be seated by the grace of God around you. With crowns on their head. Oh my. What a vision. And here it says, and when those beasts, us little bride company, give glory, we give him the glory, don't we? How do we have something like that to give? Because we change from glory to glory into his very image. Because it said that the glory that shall be revealed in us. Because the treasure that he put in the earthen vessel. All the inheritance of God is right there. There's the glory. Glory's coming home. And when the bride gives glory, oh, and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Now here's what that company that's sitting around him does. the 24 elders, all those friends of the bridegroom, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, our dear friend, to receive glory, to receive your bride, to receive the bride for the Lamb. Thou art worthy to receive her and honor and power and all of those things she brings to him. Do you know that? She brings him glory, because she's got the glory. She brings him honor because she is the masterpiece of his grace. You could not honor him with anything that could ever compare. You actually can't even honor him with anything but grace. But she's the masterpiece of it, so she honors him to the fullness. And then what does she bring him? Power. Oh, yes, she does. You could say, no, wait a second. Well, she's got a little strength, and I'll tell you the strength she's got. She's got the strength that he cannot take the throne as God without her. So she brings him power. Come on. Get excited about something, because this is about it, and it is it. And here they say, Thou art worthy, those Old Testament full overcomers. You're worthy, our dear friend, to receive your bride, the glory, the honor, and power she brings you. For thou hast created all things. And we know this, don't we, why all things were created. For thy pleasure they are and were created. He saw us in love before the foundation of the world. Amen? Then everything was created. Time, planets, the universe, all of those things had to come forth because for his pleasure, her. His glory, her. His pleasure wasn't the stars and the universe. He had one pleasure. My goodly pearl. My goodly pearl is his pleasure. So everything was created for you. Now do you get why that verse says, all things are yours and all things are for your sake. Oh my. As Brother Hill used to say, my bank account in heaven don't go broke. Oh, I'm rich. That man would say, I'm a millionaire. There ain't even an heir you could even say there. Praise God. So it's a wonderful thing. So the Old Testament full overcomers, they say, Thou art worthy to receive glory. And they only, not the bride, not those four living ones, but the Old Testament worthies, they're the ones that cast their crowns before his feet. They're the ones that do that. I know we sing a precious song and it's wonderful, but you're not going to cast a crown. If you're in the bride, you will not cast that crown because you are going to hold it fast forever because it's the honor and glory of all things. Praise his name. Now, this is what his grace is all for. This is what gives him the glory for the purpose of everything. He has done, created, finished everything upon the cross. He has his own. This is when he has his own. He has her. His one fully like him, his love, his dove, his fair one, his wife. Still, I know there's some that are still, though, having unbelief in this. I'm serious. He shows you that he's going to make them come and bow down before your feet. He shows you that he takes that company and he puts them in the midst of the throne of glory with them. He tells us throughout the word of God, the glory that shall be revealed in due time, you'll be exalted, all of these different things, but you still. Well, go on over and read the reaction, which we have many times in Revelation 19, of the one who physically probably knew Jesus better than anybody. And that's the disciple John. And John taken up into heaven And he's walking through and seeing all these wonderful things. And think of this. John has looked upon that throne and he sees the magnificence of Christ. He's seen Christ in that wonderful revelation throughout Revelation. All right? And he's had one of the bridal saints or the bridal company. We don't just say one of them. I know sometimes we do. But the bride is one. She's one. So, praise God. But that angel or the bridal saint that has been company that's been walking him around and showing him all these things, he gets to chapter 19 and verse 10, and it says, John says, I fell at his feet. That means that one that was walking him around to worship him. The disciple John, who would never worship anybody but Jesus. And John has just been taken in spirit into heaven, and he's seen these things come to pass, and he has seen the Lamb of God. And yet here he is, falling down at his feet to worship him, the one who's showing him around. And that angel, that bridal saint, that bridal company says to him, John, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Is that just glorious? She is like him. And it's not one of the 24 elders doing this. It's not one of the disciples doing this. It's not the 144,000 doing this. This is one of those angels, which is another type and shadow of the bridal company that has been bringing forth all the judgment together with him. And that's exactly what ruling and reigning together with jointly with Christ Jesus is. And if you needed sufficient witness, turn on over to chapter 22, verse 9. And here we got a replay, because John cannot help himself. It says, well, let's read from verse 8 of chapter 22 of Revelation. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. So he did it again. Then saith he to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Hallelujah. Believe. Thank you, Lord. I mean, it is. It just, isn't it glorious? Praise God. Now let's go on back to Romans 8. Close this out here pretty quick. Verse 19, the magnificences keep on a rolling. We're called to jointly reign. We're born for it. We're born Lord of all. There's great responsibility and honor that we have with him, to suffer together with him, and to have the fellowship of those sufferings, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. With him, and it's all for the glory, his glory, the treasure in the earthen vessel glory that is for him. And you read verse 19 now. So let's go back and read 18 and coming into 19. So he says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's coming, there's no doubt. That's a done deal. For the earnest expectation, that means the intense anticipation of all creation, everything he's made, everything that was made for us, waits. It waits. For the apocalypse, that's the manifestation. For the unveiling, the veil coming off the bride, the apocalypse. Praise God. And what is that? The mature, uios, sons of God. The ones that are the fullness of his glory. The magnificence of his grace. Praise his name. This is what awaits it all. Her importance that we read of in Colossians chapter 1. Just go on over there. And God, help us to really know these back and forth and back and forth. It's that precious weaving, the oneness. It never varies. Colossians 1:25, Paul says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to complete Jesus." To fulfill the word of God, that means to complete Jesus. What was given to Paul completes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The completing that even says oftentimes of a man is his wife. This is exactly what this is. It is not good for man to live alone. The woman is the glory of man. All those things in the word of God, let them come true to your heart. And here it is. For what he was given was to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. But now, remember as we always said, that rib was always in Adam. But a time was coming, but now. But now, and the sleep's on the church, and she's coming, but now is made manifest to his saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. She completes the word, the only thing that will always be the word. She's the glory that makes the word complete. Isn't that glorious? We complete him as he's finishing. It's just marvelous. The glory that makes him perfect and whole in all to reign and to rule. As he will say, this is my love, this is my glory. He will make known to all that I love you. But we need him to make it known to us now to have that place with him then. As thou hast believed. Not as thou hast will believe. As thou hast believed, so it be it done. Unto you. So it's wonderful what grace alone has made. We see this coming forth so quickly. And as I mentioned earlier, as we close this, the scriptures like the glory of the man is the woman, and the heart trusts in his heart, the heart of the husband trusts in his wife. That when he said to that wonderful, virtuous woman, thou hast excelled them all. As he said to Esther, his love to you, my love to you has exceeded all the others. Does that all start to come to life? All those things alive, praising him. Do you see why it was called Esther's feast? Esther the star, it's the sun glory's feast. That's why there's going to be a marriage supper, a marriage feast. She's going to be carried in, you know. Oh, yeah. Well, let him feast on you. Amen. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. A wine is going to come forth. The best wine is going to come forth out of her mouth. That's going to be the best wine that he will kiss forever and ever. And ever. Now that's some fruit. That's some fruit, praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed. We're having a good time in Jesus. Amen, we are. Thank you, Jesus. He's a wonderful Lord.